From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio. Ole Miss softball begins its Super Regional against UCLA tonight. That is an ESPN broadcast. I think 6 o'clock our time is the time for that. No, 8 o'clock our time, sorry. 6 o'clock out in Los Angeles. I saw some pictures yesterday where the softball team was practicing at Easton Stadium on UCLA's campus. They had a little bit of an issue with flight a couple days ago. There was air traffic in LAX, so they were stuck in Tupelo for about 3 hours where they were allowed to take off and get to California. But again, they got there, Rebels and Bruins tonight from Easton Stadium. Game one of that Super Regional, the winner, obviously, moving to the Women's College World Series in Oklahoma City. There's a couple all-SEC matchups. I know A&M plays Tennessee. I know Alabama plays Florida as well. Kentucky's in it. Auburn. So a lot of good bit of SEC flavor there in the Super Regional round.
What they do during their three-hour layover in Tupelo, they go to the Elvis Museum. Check out some of the shops.
Bought his first guitar at the Tupelo Automobile. I mean, the Tupelo Hardware Store. So you know, yeah. a lot of things.
A lot
there.
Of stuff you can go do in Tupelo. Yeah.
It appeared that they sat in a very empty terminal on the floor. So you can do that too.
You can do that too.
The Buffalo Park's really close to there.
Could have done the Buffalo Park.
Could have gone and seen some buffalo or some giraffes or something.
Yeah. So. A lot of things to do in Tupelo.
So
that when you get to Los Angeles, you think, what's the big deal?
Yeah. A little more traffic.
A lot more traffic.
Baseball is in wait-and-see mode. We'll get into that a good bit today as the show moves on. Obviously, they lose to Auburn the other night, 5-4. Had an early 2-0 lead. Auburn scored a few. Ole Miss tied it at 3. Auburn went ahead 5-3. Ryan Olenek hit a home run in the ninth, but Auburn pulls it out. They ended up losing to Florida last night, 5-4. Florida threw Alex Fajardo last night, day short of normal rest.
They did throw him?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, baseball coaches trip me out. I don't get them. I don't get it.
So they did that.
Alabama did what I told you Alabama should do.
They found a reason. Well, they sort of found a reason. He did some stupid stuff, but they still fired him without call, so they got to pay him the whole contract.
Yeah, they were going to fire him even if he hit.
You think they just gave him some bad publicity a day before in the meantime?
Yeah. No, I don't think it was that. I think they were trying to anybody who would be like, why are we doing this? Because I guarantee you there were Alabama fans who said, you mean to tell me we're going to spend $2 million for a baseball coach? Baseball. To not even coach, we could give that money to football. It's all that really matters. All them baseball boys, they're just boys who aren't good enough to play football anyway. If they were any good, Coach Saban, go over there and get them. Put them on football field. Ain't that right, Mom?
No.
Hey, Mama, we got any more of them RC Colas? I'm kind of thirsty down here. Basement's cold tonight, Mama. Them baseball boys, if they were any good,
now
if
those
they
people
were any good, if them baseball boys were any good at all, Coach Saban had them on football field.
That was the best part of Hoover, because when Alabama's in that thing, those guys show up. Fans come.
They wear their football.
They do wear the football jerseys
and yell "Roll Tide, roll, roll Tide, roll."
They do.
But when they get in their pickup truck with Mama and them to head back to Clanton or wherever. They say, you know, if them boys were really any good, they were good. They were good, Mama. They were better than them boys from LSU or whatnot. But if them boys were really any good, Coach Saban would get them and put them on the football field, and they'd help the Crimson Tide return to
glory.
Glory.
Yes.
Hell yes.
Speaking of Alabama, did you ever listen to S-Town? Podcast?
I haven't yet.
Yeah, I should do that. Just curious.
I almost answered you in the accent, but I stopped. I caught myself. I was like, that would not be fitting.
No, that was just a question. That wasn't part of the bit.
There was no point in staying in character there.
do a whole show one day just for the heck of it. See where we go.
Coach Saban, you there?
Yeah. So, got some thoughts. First podcast brought to you by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. Probably got, I don't know if they have RC Cola. Probably get a moon pie, though. Probably get a moon pie.
Probably get a lot of stuff. Yeah. The Oxford Exxon.
Clean, convenient store, good gas prices there at the Oxford Exxon. $4.99 lunch specials, ribs, every day of the week. Got Memorial Day coming up, so if you'd like them to help you cater that day for you, they can hook you up. Also, check out the Plenty Card, PLENTI.com with the Plenty Card. Saves you a lot of money, earns you a lot of points, and it works with different retailers. It's not just Critical. It's not just the Oxford Exxon. It's a lot of people. It's American Express. It's Hulu. It's Nationwide. It is Rite Aid and more, so you can do all those things there with the Oxford Exxon and throughout Critical locations in Mississippi. Also telling you, Critical is the presenting sponsor of the You Gotta Believe football camp. It's featuring Cody Core, Evan Ingram, Quincy Adebojo, Dante Moncrief. Pretty good talent there. You can register online at ygbfootball.com. That's July 6th and 7th at Jackson Academy there in Jackson. So check it out online. And again, pretty good talent there. So again, Oxford Exxon and the Clark Ford studio.
Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900, clarkfordinc.com. You call that number, you ask for Corey, you tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for, and he will send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. And then it's up to you. You can shop your quote all weekend long. You can spend your Memorial Day calling dealerships all over the place. It's a free country. Men and women fought for you to have that freedom, and if you want to exercise it, then by all means. Or you can do what so many listeners of this podcast have done, from Missouri to Biloxi, from Texas to the great state of Alabama. You can let Corey Clark and the people at Clark Ford take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. It's really simple. It's right to the bottom line. No haggling. Clark Ford in Amory, 662-257-1900. And at the end of your deal, tell Corey, hey, I heard about the dealership on the podcast. $500 off, the bottom line, just for saying that. ClarkFordInc.com.
2 days of SEC tournament play, two rain delays so far. Action's been pushed back. They lost the game on Tuesday night. Looks like the weather does pick up for a couple days before Saturday, but it's been a bit of a challenge. And there's nothing that bothers you more, or me at least, than the rain delay, waiting on games, and them being cute and playing rain themed songs over the PA for an hour. Something about that really bugged me.
It's just cheese ball.
I mean, whatever. But
yeah. So what time did Auburn start last night? Like 9:45 or something.
Yeah, it's that thing where you really don't wish it because it could easily be you, but then part of you just because why not goes, yeah, I hope they don't postpone that last game that first night. Y'all go ahead and play that sucker starting that baby at 12:15, see what happens. Have fun.
Can you imagine?
Well, I ask. There was some state media sitting behind me.
No.
And I just.
I'm shocked. Shocked they were there.
Well, I turned around. You know, they played that 17-inning game against Missouri a few years ago. And I asked one of them, I said, what time did that game end? I'm just curious. Because I was trying to figure out what's the latest they would play. Like, what's the cutoff? And they said that game ended at 3:13 a.m.
That's downright stupid.
So they finished it at 3:13. As of now, the schedule is one game behind. So there'll be three games Friday instead of two, if you care. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah. I was on the treadmill yesterday and flipping, trying to find something to pass the time while I was running.
Okay.
I actually watched some of Mississippi State and Georgia.
Okay.
This is not a reflection on either Mississippi State or Georgia.
Okay.
College baseball in that venue in the morning, there's nobody there, and it's just slow. It's rough.
And it's better this year because for some reason the ball's carrying all of a sudden. I have no idea why, but there are home runs and balls in the gaps suddenly.
The dude for State, who all he does is hit home runs, he hit one.
Yeah, the park is playing very small right now compared to usual. I think there are 8 home runs on day one. I think there were 7 home runs the entire tournament a couple years ago.
Wow.
I don't know why.
Juiced up the ball.
I think so.
Could be. I wouldn't blame him.
So.
Broke out some of the different BB Corbett's.
I asked Mike the other day. I mean, he gave the right answers. it just kind of fits. They do everything they ask them for. Like, as much as I want to give Hoover crap because they're not really moving the tournament and it's all games and it's crap, I get why it stays from a logistical standpoint. I really, really do. I mean, you're there and you look at it, and the RV lot is right there. There's parking right there. There, you know, I mean,
Lots of hotels right there.
Yeah, I mean, we can make fun of the chain food and stuff, but it serves its purpose, frankly.
The kids like the chain food. When you're feeding a large group, you're not taking them to the five-star Michelin restaurant. They like Outback. College kids like Chili's. It's easy.
So, Ole Miss in wait-and-see mode. It's going to be really close. I don't know. They might be the last team in. They might be the last team out. I mean, the first team out. It's going to be right there. There's teams you need to root for the rest of the week when it comes to a conference tournament standpoint. And, frankly, they're not off to a great start there. Missouri State lost last night. Southern Miss lost yesterday. You've got some teams where one-bid leagues suddenly become two-bid leagues, two-bid leagues suddenly become three-bid leagues, and the way you fill that out is you erase Power 5 bubble teams is how you get to that number. So it's very, very close. Ole Miss, they're positives, played an incredibly difficult schedule. They lead the nation in games against top 50 teams. They've got a lot of top 51 wins because of that. However, the record's under 500. Their top 100 record is under 500, but that's a little misleading because they only played 30 games against teams 51 to 100. It's pretty much all top 50 games for the most part.
The killer line on their resume is 14 and 17 in the SEC.
It is. Yeah, that's the killer line. They're one or two, really one game away, in my opinion, of probably being safe. I mean, it's that fine of a line here because had you won on Tuesday night, you wouldn't have moved up in RPI, but you would have moved up in RPI points. So, like, there was a disparity there where it was just hard to get to the next team. You're a little far behind. Instead, they fall four or five spots. They fall to, like, 37 at the time. I think they might be up to 35 or something right now. But you'd have gotten Florida the next day. You'd have done this. Like, there's so many things there, and you stayed in the conversation. Instead, Ole Miss home before six teams even play in Hoover whatsoever. So it's really tight, obviously, with more program, substantial news. Greg Kessinger, as everybody knows by now, broke his foot or had a foot fracture up here against the Jones fracture on Tuesday morning. I guess it was around 10 or 11 o'clock. And a couple things on this. So Ole Miss's statement on Gray's injury. Hold on, I have it. Let me get this verbatim. Is this morning, meaning Tuesday, Ole Miss shortstop Greg Kessinger suffered a foot injury in a freak accident playing ping pong in the players' lounge at the SEC tournament. X-rays revealed that he suffered a fracture that will cause him to miss the remainder of the season. The long-standing scope here, he's going to have surgery. I think they have to put a screw in it. I think best case is around 3 months of rehab. Clearly, he has time to get this thing healthy. He just has to get this thing healthy before February, whatever, of next year. That's all that really matters here is him being full strength. He's going to miss his time in the Cape Cod. Not a huge deal. Move on. Get healthy. And whatever. My one issue, and it was kind of a weird deal because Gray had been having some pain in that foot. He'd been playing through it. And because of that, it was not a freak accident. It was not that Gray was doing something stupid. I think there needed to be a little setup here. At the SEC tournament, they have a players' lounge in the hotel. This was in the Winfrey. The top nine teams are at the Winfrey. Two teams were somewhere else, and then the last team was somewhere else too. Everybody kind of plays for the Winfrey and thinks it's the nicest hotel in town, and the top how many ever see is go to the Winfrey. They've got a players' lounge in the Winfrey, and you've got nine teams in here probably playing ping pong with and against each other. It's probably playing with some dude from Missouri or something, for all I know. Or it wouldn't be Missouri because they're not the Winfrey, but you get my point.
Yeah.
Him and Alex Lang or somebody. And he's just sitting there doing it, and because it had been causing pain for a while, I don't think he told much of anybody. I think he kept it fairly quiet, probably because he didn't want to get taken out of the lineup trying to play through it. And it was substantial enough that it worsened, and with these things, you make one wrong move, pop, and there it is. So I do think that was a misconception. I think Gray caught some flack on social media. I think that some fans were giving him crap. He was doing nothing that was stupid for day of game whatsoever.
Of course
he was being
not.
An 18-year-old kid that was playing ping pong.
Well, and these people that think that the kids sit around all day long in a bubble wrap waiting for the game to start, focused on the game all day long. Stop. Stop. You're it's the football mentality. You can't be a baseball player and be dialed in 24/7. You would drive yourself insane. And if it's a Jones fracture, you see this in the NBA some. It was a foot injury that was going to happen.
Bone, yeah, at some point.
It had weakened. It was going to pop.
I mean, in a really Pollyanna way, about the perfect time for it to happen, potentially.
Yeah, I mean, it just is what it is. You know, you've got to heal these things the right way or they can be career-threatening. You've got to do it right. You've got to have the surgery right. It's got to be done correctly, and you have to rehab it exactly right. But, yes, he has a lot of time now because he doesn't have to be – like, there's no reason for him to go through fall ball.
Oh, no. No reason
at all. Get him ready by the 1st of February, and that's probably very doable.
It's going to be an interesting year or interesting day on Monday. Again, Ole Miss is right there on the line. Without knowing the committee's rationale on what they deem the most important aspect or metric, it's impossible to predict this.
Oh, it's
at this
coin
point.
Toss. Flip a coin.
Well, I guess what I'm getting at, typically teams that are 14 and 17 don't get in or really, really, really close despite having pretty good RPIs, unless you have a great RPI. I mean, you can get in if it's, you know, 18 or 20 and you've got a weird schedule. On the flip side, in the past, 16's always been enough. 16 and 14, in. Done. Don't think about it. You are in. But typically, that means the team has a great RPI. It makes you wonder a little bit here because, again, you know, as we mentioned the other day, Ole Miss didn't play Georgia, didn't play Tennessee, had to play Florida, had to play a lot of people. Look at this resume. Texas A&M. They got 16 conference wins. They went 16 and 14. So we all say in, and I believe in, but break it down for a second. I just kind of thought this was funny. They played Tennessee. Played Texas A&M. They were in that tournament with Ole Miss, so they played Texas Tech, TCU, Baylor, did all that stuff in Houston. But then their non-conference on the other weekends, 272, 192, 221, 250 RPIs. Mm-hmm. Their RPI is 45. 45. They went 0-1 in the SEC tournament. They lost to Missouri the first day.
That was a bad loss.
In that 6-11 game.
Yeah.
They are 12-17 against the top 50. Got three losses to teams 51 to 100, and they've got an outside 100 loss as well. 36-21 overall. Closed okay. It's an interesting deal where teams with 16 get in. SEC at-larges with 45 do not get in. So committee has to make a choice one way or the other there with them.
Well, that'll be interesting. Because Ole Miss has all the other things going for it outside of the league record.
The metrics are enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The league record's what stands out. We've said this before. I'll say it again as we close it out.
Also, Missouri and Miami still playing right below A&M. With one more win, A&M could easily fall to about 47 looking at the RPI right now.
If you're the committee and you want to put Ole Miss in the tournament, you can justify it. If you're the committee and you don't really have room for Ole Miss and you want to put someone else in the tournament, you can justify it. There can be no teeth gnashing on Monday. You've played your way out of the right to bitch about it. And if you get in, you go, wow, well, that's okay. A break. Let's go play. And if you don't get in, you can't go, well, we did. No, you didn't. You didn't win enough. You had chances. You didn't finish very well. The last week or so, the last 5-6 games or so, was a pretty poor performance, and it hurts you.
Yeah, lost 3 of 4 to Auburn, went 2-2, probably gets it done.
Yeah, lost the game at Arkansas State. Not that it matters, but – and then you lose. Yeah, if you win one more game against Auburn, you're fine. Which might mean that in the end they're fine.
RPI on a tie for 35th this morning. Three-way tie. It's bubbly.
Typically on the good side of the bubble.
But it's –
But it's right there.
LSU's been left out at 27.
If they want to leave them out, they have justification to do it. Well, not even difficult.
13-21 against the top 50.
It's a lot of top 50 games.
Tons. Played people in the non-conference. Did what you asked them to do.
A&M didn't.
No.
But I don't know. They might leave them both out.
Yeah. It's so close. I mean, well, I know what's going to happen if they have a lot more upsets in conference tournaments. Well, they're going to get left out.
They get left out. And if everything goes by chalk, they maybe slip in. There are three somewhere.
Because that look, that's the positive here. Everybody goes, see a lot of message boards. I mean, my mother said it this morning. I don't know if they, quote, deserve to be in. That really has nothing to do with anything. Somebody's opinion on whether they deserve to be in is irrelevant. And I looked, have they been a great team this year? No. They've been a good team at times, other times not so much. They have to fill 64 spots. They have to put 64 teams in a tournament, and they got to fill 33, 34 at-large spots along the way. Teams 28 to 33 or whatever they were in those at-large spots, warts everywhere, big warts. We talked about this last week, comparing it to supermodels and stuff. So deserve is a weird deal. They have some metrics. They don't have some metrics, and it'll go one way or the other, like you said. There's no reason to complain if they don't get in. And if they get in, there's no reason to cause stirs and go, oh, they shouldn't have gotten. Well,
no, of course not. If they get in, they get in. If they get in, they barely get in. If they don't get in, they barely didn't get in. The committee's got to put somebody in, and the committee has to say no to somebody. And they have justification both ways with Ole Miss. And when the people who want to do this big picture thing, is this season a disappointment?
Well, yeah, if you don't
get
in.
Yes. And at this point, it's kind of a disappointment if you do get in. Is there a different level of pressure on Mike Bianco and that program next season? Yes. Yes. I'm fascinated to see what they do with this contract now. They rolled Freeze's over because they had no choice, but Hugh Freeze's team was not good last year. That was not a good product on the field. I watched.
And it was an auto-renewal.
It was an auto-renewal. They had no choice, but I'm talking about the optics of it.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't a good team. They finished badly. Got their asses kicked late in the year.
We have a Labrador Retriever that is not happy with something at the moment. So I don't know. We'll see. It is. It's going to be close. We'll keep you updated on RebelGrove.com as the bubble shrinks or stays the same size. Moving through. Props to C. Brister on my board. He's done a heck of a job of going through, creating spreadsheets and everything else, basically so I don't have to do it. So if you remember RebelGrove.com, you're seeing really, really detailed analysis there for him. So props to him from that. Also, a podcast brought to you by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. MasterCuts, full-service lawn maintenance landscape company serving Oxford, Tupelo, surrounding areas. No job's too large or small for MasterCuts. Some of the services include landscape design and installation, landscape lighting, irrigation, maintenance, and turf installation. They do holiday lighting during the holiday season. If your yard is not up to par, give MasterCuts a call for a free quote, 662-607-7773, mastercutslawn.com. Sign an annual contract. Mention the podcast. First cut is on them.
Sorry about that. The dog needed to go out, ask the kids to do it. Nobody responds. It's amazing. Kids and cell phones, they're on them all the time, except when you need them to be. Then they're not. That's how that works.
Well, they probably couldn't hear him upstairs. I mean, I heard him, but
I heard him.
He was whining a little.
He's whining a lot. Anyway,
he wasn't overly happy.
He wasn't. New advertiser to the podcast. The podcast brought to you by John Fryer and Tuna Chasa Charters in Biloxi, Mississippi. John handles inshore and offshore fishing expeditions. He knows where to put you on the fish you want to catch. Tuna Chasa Charters is located at 200 East 8th Street. That's Slip C2 in Biloxi. For more information, check out their Facebook page or call 228-348-7817. Whether you're looking for a quick fishing trip inshore a serious deep sea fishing excursion, or anything in between, let John and the folks at Tuna Chasa Charters take care of you. You looking for something active to do this summer? The Oxford Park Commission has you covered during the hottest months of the year. Registration for instructional programs is ongoing through May 31st. Tennis, golf, gymnastics, cheerleading, fencing, and karate are just some of the many activities youth and adults can take part in. For more information on summer programs, visit them online, oxfordparkcommission.com. Like them on Facebook at Oxford Parks Commission. Follow them on Twitter at Oxford Parks Rec, or on Instagram, Oxford Parks. Live well, play well, have fun. Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money, the vast majority of the bank's profits, go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home and all of the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person, all without having to press 10 buttons and without a 5-minute wait. OUB has the absolute best free checking account you'll find anywhere. It's called Kasasa. It comes complete with cash back or interest options. If you have a Kasasa account, OUB will refund your ATM fees nationwide. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
Latest projections I see this morning are from Baseball America. They have Ole Miss the first of the last four into the tournament. And again, this is as of Thursday morning. So it's doubtful that the at-large spot, like your position, increases, but it likely decreases as the week goes on and bubble spots get taken. So probably no better than that. But a last four in, and actually might have them, I don't know which way they're doing this, could actually be the very last team in the field. Because it says last four in Louisiana Lafayette, Indiana, Miami, and Mississippi. So I don't know. Maybe last team in, Neil? Is that the way you would
yeah,
take
that's
that?
How I'd read it.
First four out, Louisiana Tech, South Alabama, Missouri, and Loyola Marymount. So next four out, Florida Atlantic, South Carolina, who's basically done now. And then Kansas and Charlotte. Chad Holbrook says he will be fine either way when asked about his job security in Columbia, South Carolina.
Interesting answer. Probably true.
That was his answer, though.
Making $700,000 or so.
Give or take.
Probably has some years left on the contract. It's guaranteed. Be all right.
A lot of injuries. Probably give him another year. They're banged up.
What I was saying a minute ago before Gus interrupted, or Gus's stomach interrupted, I am interested to see what Ross Bjork and people do with Bianco now with the contract. Roll it over? Don't roll it over? We're about to have some fascinating times here on the old podcast and at rebelgrove.com. It's about to get real.
Think so?
Yep.
Think we're hitting that time of year?
I think we're real close. What's today? 25th?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're 10 days away or so.
Fair enough.
Ballpark.
Some responses have been filed. Maybe all of them have by now. Either way, yeah, they'll be public soon, and we'll see what.
One in particular I'm fascinated by.
Are you?
So, yeah, a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think we're going to have the summer doldrums this year that we've had some years.
No.
Where you kind of are a little worried about what's coming next, and what are you going to actually have something to talk about? Topic or two in mind as we move forward, so.
Yeah, multiple people saying that they do not expect names to be redacted, which will make things interesting.
Well,
although we all know the names.
Yeah, everybody, anybody that knows anyone, and when I say anyone, I mean fourth party anyone,
yeah,
knows the names. And I don't really understand the basis on them being redacted to begin with.
Just the NCAA has always sort of operated that way. Everything yeah. gets redacted. It's super secret. Now I think boosters get named, which means there will be fallout.
Think so?
Yeah. The weird part about the NCAA process is that boosters get named, but they can't defend themselves in the hearing.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
It's so stupid, the whole way this thing works.
They get named, however, they basically have to rely on other parties to defend them in the way they hope to be defended.
And I can speak for one of them in particular who is not particularly confident in the party that will speak on his behalf.
Oh, it's a flawed process.
It's a lot. That's why I tell people all the time, when everybody compares it to a criminal court or even a civil court, it's like, nah, I don't think that's really how it is.
It has some really stupid parliamentary procedure, for lack of a better term. It just...
Yeah, that's kind of a good term, actually. Here's the way it's done. It's a shame it's not public, because I sure wish I could go.
You'd go?
Oh.
In.
In. Front row, baby. Popcorn in hand. There's a lot of... I'd love to hear all... There's some people I'd love to see have an opportunity to defend themselves.
See how it goes.
Get my popcorn. I'm not even a really big popcorn guy, but I'd have a big tub of it.
I don't like a lot of butter.
I don't like any butter.
None, really. None. So movie theater popcorn, eh.
Not for me.
Where they drizzle the stuff on the top, the melted stuff.
That's gross.
What do you get at the movie theater when you go? If you get a refreshment, what is it?
I'll get candy if I'm going to get something, yeah.
Chocolate or like fruity stuff?
No, chocolate, like the Reese's Pieces. I like that.
I like chocolate almonds.
When I was a kid, I liked those snow caps.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
What's the worst candy?
The worst candy.
Whoppers are up there for me. Hate Whoppers.
They mess up your mouth.
I get no payoff out of Gobstoppers. Stoppers.
The caramels?
No, the Willy Wonka hard things.
Oh, no, I don't like those. You know what's a sneaky good candy? Those Rolos. I like those.
They're a little sticky, but
They're kind of sticky, but you can. They have some staying power.
Yeah, no, Gobstoppers are really hard. You have to like bite through them or you suck on them forever.
I've never had one.
Never had a Willy Wonka Gobstopper?
I never have.
It's basically a jawbreaker.
Yeah.
Kind of jawbreaker.
Right. I'm not big on fruity candy.
Like what?
Like Skittles and stuff.
Oh, I do like Skittles.
I mean, I like them fine.
Okay.
It's just not my thing.
Anyway, I don't know how I got there, but
I don't know how we got anywhere.
Oh, I know what I was going to ask you about. Oh,
okay.
You got me up into movies and candy and whatever.
Oh, yeah.
What was your reaction to Jeff Goodman's tweet yesterday?
Ooh.
I'll read.
Stansberry tweet.
Yeah, I'll read.
Read it for those who are not familiar.
Okay. Jeff Goodman, ESPN college basketball writer.
Yeah, very good at his job. Lots of sources, lots of people, lots of coaches trust him.
I don't really know Jeff, but take your word for it.
You know, I don't know him either. I just know that college coaches trust him.
Quote, just got this text from high major coach, quote, other than Calipari and Kay, no one scares me more on recruiting trail than Rick Stansberry and the S is a dollar sign. End the quote. End quote. Right after that, someone tweeted Adam Finkelstein, who I have no idea who that is, but he's verified, so probably a reporter somewhere.
Yeah.
Hearing Tremont Waiters' decision could come early this weekend, Western Kentucky reportedly making a hard push. Goodman quote tweets this and says, have heard this for a while. Will Rick Stansberry land another elite recruit at Western Kentucky? Would be three top 100s in this class. He capitalizes this. And then above that, Rick Stansberry has Mitchell Robinson, ESPN number 10, and Josh Anderson, 77, Mayland Tremont Waters. Bowling Green must be, in caps, nice. And Goodman in the past has made comments about smart money would be on Stansberry late in recruiting process. Okay, here's my thoughts on this.
Okay.
And I don't know because I don't know Jeff. I'm not even sure I follow him on Twitter.
Okay.
So I'm looking this completely whatever.
Sure.
My first thought is, well, clearly he's saying they get paid. I mean, that's duh.
Yeah, the dollar sign's a giveaway.
Yeah. I'm just trying to talk my way through it. Okay, that's the idiot's guide to this.
Yeah, I wasn't making fun. I just having fun.
But based off that, is it a negative as in he's calling Stans a cheater and playing the true believer card? Or is it B, he's more giving him props that he's able to set up a system and making fun of college basketball on the fact that it's really not even hidden that they're going crazy? I mean, look, college football and college basketball, same but different. College basketball, in its sleaziness, is almost pure because it's a business decision almost entirely for these kids in this position. Not every kid, but in these top-level kids like this, it's just kind of, hey, I've almost kind of got an agent. I've got a situation. You know how this thing gets done, and we move forward. In some ways, it's a church social compared to the way football is so under the table.
Yeah.
So what is Goodman
saying? For someone who doesn't cover college basketball, you just nailed it.
So what is Goodman saying here?
The quote from the coach, who I assume my guess would be Goodman, said, can I use that? Yeah, man, don't use my name. I don't need to engage.
It's a frustrated coach right now is what it is.
It is. It's a high-level coach saying, how the hell am I losing kids to Western Kentucky? What are they playing, Chase? The Sun Belt?
I think so.
Something like that?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, they're not on TV much at all.
No.
Bowling Green's fine. But nobody goes Bowling Green. Mecca. They have good fan support, blah, 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 blah. Come on. It's not Duke. It's not the SEC. It's not the ACC. It's not the Pac-12. It's not losing a kid to Oklahoma. It's not losing a kid to Alabama. It's not losing a kid to North Carolina State. It's losing a kid to Bowling Green, Western Kentucky. Of course it's about that. It was his reputation at stake. Now, he never got caught. He goes to Texas A&M as the lead recruiter, and voila, they start recruiting. Never got caught. Nobody gets caught. You got to have a recruiting budget to win in college basketball. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, yes, I'm talking to everyone. You got to have a recruiting budget. I don't mean the money that you spend for planes and rental cars and hotels to go to the tournaments. I mean a recruiting budget.
They get the cakes and give them to the official visitors when they come in.
Those are sweet. Those are kind.
It's like $40.
Those are kind. Yeah, that's not what I'm talking about either.
Okay.
If you don't have a recruiting budget, it's hard because these are business decisions. Top 100 kids, they all think they're going to the NBA quickly. They're not looking, hey, where's the best place to spend the next 5 years of my life? And took no stop.
There's a great MBA program.
Yeah. I love the architecture program at Arizona. No, that's not how it works. So I think he's making fun of the system.
You do?
A little bit.
Okay.
System's really flawed. The shoe people. People would be shocked at how much power Nike and Adidas have on the recruiting trail in the AAU circuit where kids get placed. Why a kid picks Kansas over Kentucky or Kentucky over Duke or Duke over Arizona. Why a kid goes to UCLA. It's a lot of times really influenced by the shoe people.
Yeah.
Football's a little bit more of a factory of cheating. Basketball, it's easier to identify the elite kids. I mean, you know, the 6'9" kid in the ninth grade, who can already shoot a jumper. Hey, here's a clue. He's probably going to be good in 4 years. It's easy to pick that kid out, and so the recruiting process starts much earlier. The AAU circuit in basketball is just 10 kids on the floor at once. You can spot them. You don't have to be Billy Donovan or Greg Popovich or Steve Kerr to go, hey, that kid looks like he probably could play the 3 at the college level. Football doesn't have that. 7-on-7s and stuff, but football doesn't have an AAU circuit. A lot more kids, obviously 22 kids on the field at once. Rosters are bigger. But the cheating on the elite kids in football is just the same as it is in basketball. You don't get them clean. It's about being smart.
Yeah, carefulness is.
Yeah.
Honor among thieves in a way. I mean, almost.
So out of that.
Hey, there's a system, and you stay inside your lanes here. And I don't mean lanes in your tiers, just the way we do it.
A lot of that.
Way we do it. Don't now look.
That's why when this Ole Miss thing is over, one of the storylines will be, when we kind of evaluate where to from here, how's this changed the player acquisition programs at these schools? Because now what's always been the case in kind of the SEC was the honor among thieves. Kind of got violated.
Especially when Slav was there.
He had control. He was the godfather. I think one of the problems the league has, I'm level with you here. I think one of the problems the league has right now is Greg Sankey's a true believer. I've heard that from people. I don't know that to be true. I'd love to sit down and ask him. Do you think it's clean? Do you think college football's clean? Do you not believe the stuff that's out there about how kids end up at Florida, Alabama, Tennessee, Ole Miss, LSU, Mississippi State, wherever?
Yeah.
Do you believe that? Georgia. I named enough schools so that I'm not picking on anybody.
Yeah. Northwestern, Vanderbilt, Stanford, whatever.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Do you believe that? Or do you think, no, you know what? It's about relationships and it is about relationships too.
Of course.
But when there's...
Yeah, when everybody's doing it, it's back to relationships.
But when there's a poor kid from X, right? Elite player from X.
Mm-hmm.
X comma X. I don't want to put anybody in this. And he's getting recruited, and someone says, hey, look, here's how we're going to take care of you and your family over the next 3 or 4 years. And then the other school goes, we can't do anything. We'll give you a scholarship, room and board. Where do you think he's going? Because that kid didn't grow up caring about a college man. That kid grew up, where am I going to get my next meal? Are my parents, is my mama, are going to get evicted from this apartment? Where are we going to sleep this weekend? Not worried about who wins a football game on Saturday afternoon. His version of big-time football is the local high school.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, some 7-on-7 guy comes in and is taking him around, and they're staying in hotels, and they're driving around in cars, and he's eating at restaurants that he's never eaten at in his life. You don't think that guy has some sway? And then it gets decision time, and some people around him say, got to have a little help. You can help the family. Well, the family's all he's got. Not worried about schools, coaches. I don't care about coaches. All the coaches say the same thing. That system got upset in this deal. I'm not saying that's right or wrong.
No,
I get it. But part of the fallout will be, how's it work now?
Yeah. What next?
Immunity.
What now?
Immunity interviews. Interesting. So now you got to be careful. You know, you lose a recruiting battle. Usually that's the end of it. Is it now?
Yeah. Plenty of time to talk as the days.
I give Stansberry credit, though. He lands recruits.
Oh.
It's how he's made a bunch of money in his career because he's not a particularly good floor coach.
No, but he brings them into the house, though. So
he's able to do it.
Podcast brought to you in part, Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. 30 years old this year, one of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis, so you're getting local underwriting, understands your market. Also, the leader in condo financing in the Oxford market. Ask Jason Lowe about Community Mortgage's float down option. It allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. You can contact Jason 662-234-2704 or JLowe, that's LOWE, at communitymtg.com.
The podcast also brought to you by Michael Oswalt. If you're looking to buy or sell land anywhere in Mississippi, give Michael a call. He's a realtor, specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across the state of Mississippi. He works with Tom Smith Land and Homes. It's by far the largest broker of land in Mississippi. Michael's from the Mississippi Delta. He now lives in the Jackson metro area. He regularly visits his parents in Lafayette County. Understands the recreational and timberland tract in Mississippi better than anyone. Look him up on his site. Scottland.com. Read his recent testimonials. Ask him about his track record. Look online, see what types of properties he has listed. The land market's very hot right now. If you're on the fence about selling your land, your hunting club share, or your home with acreage, now is the time. Give Michael a call today. He's ready to meet with you and explain the process. If he can't earn your business in that meeting, he says he doesn't deserve it. Three ways to get in contact with him. Give him a call on his cell, 662-719-3967. Visit his Facebook page or send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com. Podcast also brought to you by the Rebel Locker Room. Guests join the show on the Rebel Locker Room hotline. The Rebel Locker Room, West Jackson Avenue in Oxford. It's the place to go to get all of your officially licensed Ole Miss gear, all the colors, all the styles. It's there at the Rebel Locker Room. Ole Miss football season tickets available online at olemisstix.com. That's olemisstix.com.
Somewhere I was going with that, and I don't forget. Ole Miss picked up a commit last night.
Yeah.
Story at rebelgrove.com.
I know. I popped it up on the website. Me and all my contacts in Oklahoma City. Russell popped on the story. Bang, there it is.
Israel Antoine?
Yeah.
Commits to Ole Miss?
Yep.
Oklahoma defensive tackle?
Was he at Millwood High School? Is that right?
He does go to Millwood High School. 6'4", 295.
Big.
Look, if you don't have a sense of humor, you probably aren't listening to us by this point. You got to understand some sarcasm. We've only had like 1,400 shows at this point. So
is that all?
I'm going to say this, meaning we are joking, but I did really have to give props to the message board guy yesterday. Did you see it in that thread?
No. Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah.
I'm having to paraphrase. I don't have it in front of me, and I'm going to take the time to find it. He goes, so we signed a Muhammad last year and an Israel this year. I'm not supposed to worry about locker room chemistry. That was pretty good. I have to give him an A for that.
It's really good. It's really good. Standing ovation.
Yeah. Is it all right? Props to you. That's great.
Well, it's a faith-based program, so it'll all work out, you know.
Oh, my God. Jokes, people. Jokes.
Telling jokes. Ha-ha.
If you're just curious.
If you take us super seriously and get deeply offended at any joke we tell, we're probably not the show for you.
As I mentioned earlier, Greg Goff terminated with calls. That means Alabama is responsible for his base salary. And a little bit on that. In any sport, that's pretty much how that works. You get paid a base salary by the school, and then you get paid a lot more by different contracts, loyalty foundations, boosters, all this other stuff. Most times when someone's fired, it's base salary that's owed throughout the remainder of the contract. So for Greg Goff, that is, he had a 5-year contract that ran through 2021 for $450 annually with a base of $265. So he's owed this $265 for the remainder. So if he does not accept another job in baseball, he's owed $1.06 million over the next 4 years. He was supposed to make $1.8 million in total compensation if he'd coached through the duration of the contract there. So what he did was he had all the end of year meetings with his players and told 10 of them that they sucked and they were gone and their scholarships were not being renewed because of their athletic ability or inability to play baseball. And the NCAA prohibits you to take a kid's scholarship because of his athletic ability. So that was why the NCAA stuff was popping up the other day.
It's my opinion they were going to make this decision anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
He had alienated alums.
Yeah, when you're losing and you're a jerk, not usually a good combination.
Players didn't like him. It was a mess.
He might be worse than Sonny Galloway. And that's a guy that's suing Auburn, and they're suing each other, I think.
So where does Alabama go?
Got Calvi at South Al. Could be a good hire. Yeah. I'd make a run at Scott Berry, Southern Miss.
Yeah, he's done a really good job.
Kirk Sarlous is a big name, TCU assistant.
Yeah.
TCU's job, maybe not TCU, Tennessee's job still open, I think. I don't think they've hired anybody yet.
Is that going to be the last SEC opening? Everybody else pretty secure?
Let me think. Scott Strickland probably has another year, but he's got to win quick. I think three years of losing at Georgia now under him, maybe.
It's bizarre.
Okay, let's see. I got a feeling Kevin O'Sullivan's pretty safe.
Yeah.
Paul Menary's safe enough.
Yeah.
Nick Mangione's pretty safe.
Got State safe.
Yeah. Dave Van Horn's safe.
Yeah. I'm guessing Corbin doesn't get fired.
Don't think he's getting axed today.
Just betting. If I'm Tim Corbin, I woke up today and said, you know, a decent chance to still have a job at the end of the day.
Butch Thompson, it's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, more than okay. I'm just kind of going down through it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it. Missouri's got a first-year head coach and was a little better this year.
No, he did an okay job.
He's all right.
Yeah.
14-16 in the league.
Took a step up.
Didn't suck. Try not to suck. They didn't suck.
Yeah. He probably gets up and says, you know, honey.
We got at least two more years in here.
I think we're going to make it through the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. I mean, Georgia would be the next hot seedy thing, and they're fine. So unless somebody steals somebody's coach, I think that's it for the league.
So going in the next season, Georgia on the hot seat.
Yep.
Bianco on at least a warmer seat.
Yeah.
If anybody gets offended
there's
by
more
that,
pressure if he didn't make the tournament. Yeah.
If that offends you, I'm sorry. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Probably about it.
Got Chad Holbrook. Sorry.
Yeah, well,
never mind.
His seat's on fire next year.
Yeah, if Holbrook makes it through this year, he is going in with just flames all the way around.
Say him. South Carolina makes a change. Kicks and giggles.
Uh-huh.
Scale of 1 to 10, how attractive is that job?
It's one spot worse because Ray Tanner's the AD.
Okay.
I know a lot
is
of people.
Is he a meddler?
He feels like a meddler. Or he at least feels like a presence that suffocates you. I don't want to say meddler. I want to say him being there. Because what's so funny is a lot of people that want to play it up as a positive go, well, hey, he understands baseball. He's the AD. He's going to provide you resources. And all that stuff's true. He's going to give you a little more than maybe the generic John Doe guy would. But
he's managing the game.
He's a legend.
Yeah.
That is over your shoulder.
Yeah.
Skip Bertman's kind of the same way. He's just there. I mean, it's suffocating, I think, for
every
a guy.
Time you lose a game, the fans walk out going, Ray Tanner wouldn't have lost that game.
Mm-hmm. And Ray's down on the field with you after the game.
Yeah.
So when he walks down to shake your hand on a Sunday, all the fans are chanting, Ray, take it back over. Ray, Holbrook sucks.
That would suck.
Yeah, yeah. Fans can get kind of clever yelling at the baseball coach from the outfield after the game. Kind of chuckle sometimes.
I got a problem tonight on my team. We play the Red Sox tonight. I've got three kids who can pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Two are out of town.
Well, you have one kid that can pitch.
Yeah.
And y'all pitch first.
We pitch first.
See, if you pitch the machine first, you're golden.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to hand it to that kid.
Here's the ball, bud. Can he go all three?
No.
I can't?
No.
I don't know. I'm asking.
I don't think so.
What's the pitch limit?
Like 60.
Clean innings? 20 an inning?
He's 10. There ain't no clean innings. The other team's not swinging.
Well, then throw nine strikes and go sit in the dugout.
Here's what you hate about 10-year-old stuff is that the kids get conditioned to walk and they won't swing. It's amazing, man. Kids will stand at the plate with a 1-2 count and watch a pitch right down the middle.
Trying to walk.
So why are you even? I don't even know why you take the bat up there. Be better off just standing there.
See a fellow 10-year-old throws three strikes before he throws four balls. I know where you're acting like the odds would be.
I mean, I'd bet on the balls. Then the umpire starts squeezing them. That's the damnedest part of it. Like, oh my God. Tonight, though, I'm not saying a word to umpires.
Theo put this team together for the Red Sox?
Yeah, this is Theo's club.
Okay. So y'all are in trouble?
Yeah. Not saying a word. Tonight, I'm just going to get a big thing of bubble gum, and I'm just going to chew bubble gum. Keep my mouth shut.
Last note on Alabama real quick. I just happened to see this in the story. I'm reading from TideSports.com. Alabama averaged 3,773 fans this year. They averaged 4,300 last year, so they also had a fairly significant decrease in attendance.
That'll do it.
That's the ticket.
You want to judge programs, coaches on hot seats, warm seats? You want this warm seat to get super hot? Fans don't go to games. Oh, I say this in football. I'm not talking about Ole Miss, before anybody thinks I'm talking about Ole Miss. Any program. When people say in May or June or whatever, oh, that coach is fine. The emotion hasn't kicked in yet. Fine in May and June is totally different than fine in October, November. Because in October, November, if the losses have piled up and if the fans have lost faith and lost interest, they stop showing. And when they stop showing, those visible gaps of humanity in the stadium scream louder.
So you're talking atmosphere, not money in pocket. You're not talking about paid attendance. You're talking about actual attendance.
I'm talking about actual attendance, actual bodies in seats. Because if enough people aren't there, you see it. And there's no spinning that. Like, let's say, I'm going to use a non-Ole Miss example. Let's use Florida, okay?
Sure.
Florida Stadium holds, what, 90?
Give or take.
Let's call it 90 for fun. I can hear people out there going, Neil, it's 84,207. Whatever. Call it 90. And normally in November, the Gators get 90,000 in their home games, okay? And suddenly they get 60. That's visible. You see it. Jordan Hare is 90,000. Home game in November, let's say this year. Let's say this year goes really bad for the Tigers. And in November, there's 54,000 bodies there. Oh, they can announce 90,000 people because they sold 90,000 tickets. But 30-some-odd thousand of those people said, you know what, I'll eat my money. I'm staying home.
Look, we've talked about
that
this.
Screaming to people, decision makers.
4th-and-1 didn't get Ed Orgeron fired. Northwestern State got Ed Orgeron fired.
No doubt.
21,710 or whatever that was that day.
What finished Houston nut was after that Vanderbilt game, Georgia, Arkansas, there were large pockets of people dressed up as aluminum seats.
You were pretty close. Ben Hill Griffin Stadium.
Yeah.
In Florida. 88,548.
So 90.
Record attendance, 90,916.
Look at me.
You've been hell on Prices Right.
It's like I've covered the league for 20-something years. You know what I mean? I mean, you want to use Ole Miss as an example? Let's say Ole Miss gets off to a bad start. Cal goes bad. Vanderbilt goes bad.
You got those two home games against Arkansas and LSU.
So let's say, is it Arkansas first?
Don't know.
Say they lose to Arkansas, and it's bad. An LSU game, the attendance will go down. Be a lot more purple and gold in the stadium. Say it just went to hell in a handbasket. I don't necessarily think it will. I don't know. Ole Miss is one of those teams that I think there's a large – you know, some teams you go, well, best case is 8-4, worst case is 10-2. For me, with Ole Miss, best case is 8-9 wins. Worst case is 8-9 losses. I think there's just a huge gulf in there where they could land. Say it went really bad. Lose to Cal, lose to Alabama, lose to Auburn, lose the home games, lose two of those three home games. Mm-hmm. Go to Kentucky and lose. Won't be anybody at the Lafayette game. The A&M game. People won't come. That's where coaches get fired. If in baseball next season it goes badly and in April on a weekend when normally the stadium would be packed and people would be overflowing in the outfield. Instead, it's just kind of, ho-hum.
Well, I mean, and that's what happened the last time. You know, Ross didn't extend or whatever it was. That was the year where attendance at the end of the year was pretty dull.
Right.
It was.
That's what gets you done. That's where all the TV hurts coaches. If you're an Ole Miss fan, let's say that scenario happened and you're an Ole Miss fan and you can still watch the Lafayette game. You can still watch it. It's going to be on TV. But you say, I'm not invested enough to get in the car and drive 6 hours.
Texas, SEC Big 12 basketball opponent this year for Ole Miss.
Is that right? So at Austin? What's the date on that?
January 27th.
Oh, good. Might make that trip.
Are you?
Yeah. Hook 'em. It's a good opponent.
Got Baylor this year. Had a good opponent.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
How's he done there?
Not well to this point. He's recruiting really well right now. Shaka. Smart.
I don't know. Weird.
I was about to read something, and then I had to enter my password. We were talking about football games. It won't be long before it's tailgating time. 7 South Tailgating is a premier service provider in one of the most tradition-rich tailgating spots in the country. Of course, referring to the Grove, owned and operated by 2 Ole Miss alumni, one being a former member of the Ole Miss baseball team. 7 South understands the importance of a game day done right. 7 South is specialized to meet and exceed your exact needs in all areas of tailgating. Their desire is to take the work and stress out of tailgating to enrich that already wonderful Grove experience. Services include setup, post-game trash removal, takedown, and storage of your personal equipment. 7 South has the capacity to set up as much or as little equipment as you wish. For more information, get in touch with Kyle Thornton at 7southtailgating.com.
See where Greg Byrne yesterday, he hadn't had the best month, is meeting with the media about Goff's departure, and he says that if the media reports a candidate's name, he's going to tell the candidates he's going to assume they do not want the job. That's a hard line approached when there's ways to get sources without the coach saying it.
It's the control. This is the college athletics thing that I get a kick out of. They think the media, I swear to you, I do. I'll get to push back on this probably. I think some people in athletic departments, not all, but some, think the media should cooperate like a part of the program. I'm not part of your program. I'm not part of your hiring process. If I get wind that you interviewed a coach or that you're talking to a coach, I'm going to report it. I'm not part of the subterfuge.
Your loyalty is to your readers and subscribers and your boss.
That's it. I have no loyalty to the people that I cover.
And that doesn't mean you hate the people you cover.
No, not at all. I like most of the people that I cover.
Yeah.
But I don't work for them. They don't write me a check. I'm not loyal to them.
They've never tried to body slam you.
I've never been body slammed. You think Houston would have body slammed me if I'd said, so let me get this.
Moral victory.
Houston, if you don't mind clarifying, that sounded like you were claiming a moral victory. Are you claiming a moral victory? Do you think he would have body slammed me?
Would he have walked out?
I think he would have walked out.
I kind of like to have seen him walk out.
Because that would have been the end of the press conference.
Yeah.
Which was the beginning of the press conference.
The very beginning.
God, I wish I'd done that.
Do you really?
Kinda. Knowing what I know today about how it all works and how quickly people can turn on you and message and the falsehoods that people spread about you because it's convenient.
That is a good question. What coach would have been most likely to body slam you? Houston, Cliff Ellis?
Cliff wouldn't have. Cliff put his hand on my neck one time and kind of squeezed a little.
Ooh.
In Bud Walton Arena.
He was mad?
He was mad about an interview that I had done on in South Carolina on the radio.
Oh. Did he actually listen to it?
His daughter listened to it.
And he put his hand on your neck.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
It was during the Chris Porter crap.
Squeezed?
Little.
What'd you do?
Kind of pulled away.
And that was it?
Yeah.
So who was it? Who?
I don't think Houston would have gotten physical. I don't think that's his nature.
No.
He's not confrontational.
Nobody sticks out?
Who would get physical? No.
Yeah.
No, that's so unprofessional.
Yeah.
I mean, that is over the top. I mean, that guy just ruined his political career.
Oh, he's going to get elected today in this world. He gained votes. You kidding?
You're probably right.
Hate the media. Gained votes. They should body slam them all. Eh, no. Done. Elected.
You're probably right now that you say that.
I don't know who he's voting against today or who's running against today, but yeah. I think that guy saw it and went, ah, dang it. Should have body slammed somebody.
What's the reaction?
Hey, we got any brass knuckles back in that drawer back there?
What's the reaction in the public? I don't think this would happen, but like based off the golf thing the other day.
Mm-hmm.
If, say, at SEC Media Days, Freeze just walks off the podium. Is it pro Freeze or is it, are you crazy? And I don't think he'll do that. I think he'll be far, far, far more prepared.
Inside the fan base, it'd be completely positive for the coach. Absolutely everywhere else outside the fan base, it would be, are you crazy?
He would be viewed as a hothead.
Well, yeah, just dude.
Yeah, what are you thinking? What do you think the questions were going to be?
Yeah. No, I mean, he'd be positive inside the fan base for the most part. Especially with the irritation of the SEC right now.
Yeah. Freeze is going to stand on that podium in that dice, I guess, is the better term.
He's going to do the less thing and filibuster.
He should. We're going to hear a lot about everybody on the roster.
Yeah, Les basically read a phone book up there.
I will miss Les Miles. Well, let me catch y'all up on the Miles family summer.
I was right.
And he'd tell you what all the kids were doing, where all they'd been, what they'd done.
Filibustering.
Let me tell you about the fine young men that are going to be playing for the Fighting Tigers. And then we'd start at the quarterback position and go through.
Everybody getting named.
Lots of names. It'd be like the local newspaper in a small town. You played Little League Baseball last night, you're getting named in the paper. Because Mama's going to buy the paper if her little boy's name's in it.
He used to have to catch up on some of his players' names when he couldn't always remember them.
Who was the one? It was
Ben Benedetto.
Ben Benabena.
Yeah, he went to Michigan. Houston goes Ben Benabena.
They had a run on injuries at wide receiver.
And I think like Brandt goes Benedetto. Houston Benedetto.
My favorite Houston nut story was when I was at the practice and I had my brother's consulting.
Yeah, yeah.
I've told you that it was black with purple lettering and it said LSI Consulting. And he kept looking at my hat the whole interview. He'd be answering somebody else's question and he's trying to glance at my hat. And I finally realized, like, what's
he thought it was LSU.
I finally realized, what's he looking at? And then I went, oh, he thinks this is an LSU hat.
Yeah. He'd always forget names at the last minute. Like, he was naming defensive ends or something one day, and he forgets Cameron Wiggum to the very end. And all of a sudden, just out of the blue, he's like a question later. He goes, Cameron Wiggum. I was like, what? Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was like back from before. That's right.
No one could understand why we'd all sit around and just look at each other and go, Cameron Wiggum.
Well, I'm sure he was hell on the transcribers because he was such a run-on thought. It would be a thought, then half another thought, and then go back to that thought.
He was nowhere close to the worst.
No.
The absolute worst of run-ons.
Yeah.
Ever?
Yeah.
Terry Bowden.
Really?
And he talked fast. And he'd get two-thirds of a way into an answer.
Go somewhere else.
And then just disappear. New tangent. And so you'd have transcribed all that, having to go back and listen 14 times. And you're like, oh, my God, I'm not going to be able to use that. because it doesn't finish at all.
Yeah.
It was the worst.
All right, again, Ole Miss, UCLA tonight, Easton Stadium, 8 o'clock, 6 o'clock Pacific time. I think that's right. I probably shouldn't be correct, but I'm pretty sure I'm right.
I think that's right.
Okay, ESPN.
Yeah.
So check the message board. We'll have it.
We'll have all that up. A little programming note. No podcast tomorrow. I'm traveling. We never do a podcast on Memorial Day because the baseball selection show is around 11
that
morning.
It's 11 a.m.
We will be back on Tuesday with the podcast. It will be up a little bit later because I've got a doctor's appointment early Tuesday morning because this stupid cyst in my lip won't go away. So we'll have a podcast to you Tuesday. It will be a little later than normal, but we'll be right back with you. Yeah. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. If you're driving, be safe.
Yeah. Talk to you soon.